is ready, can you please lead us in the second song? In the name of Jesus, we'll seek in the name of Jesus as a prayer this morning, and let us shout out with all our hearts and say praise to Jesus in the name of Jesus. Let's sing now.
Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Visitors in this morning, welcome all of you this morning, and please take a seat. Thanks, everyone. Thanks. Thank you. Shalom to everybody. Shalom. Is it on? Hang on, this one. Is it right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just fixing for another mic for somebody. Sorry.
I just want to explain, just for those, just so our preacher just disappeared, I'm just going to explain for online. So we have all sorts of wonderful people here in our church, or your church, and one of those wonderful people is gorgeous Susie. And Susie has a cochlear implant, so this little microphone that we're trying to fix here, this is so everybody can get the message. So, I think that's really cool. So, praise God for technology. But I also want to just take this moment to encourage everybody as well. If you have a need and the message isn't, if you can't hear properly, if you have English as a second language and you need us, we talked about maybe putting subtitles on screens. There's a lot of things that we're actually working on here as a church to bring the message to you more clearly. You know what? I love to see people taking notes as well. And if some of those notes that you're taking are questions, please come up to one of us after the service with your questions, and we can help you to connect with your small groups as well and have some of those questions answered. So we're a church who loves to help and would love to connect. Yeah. And
thanks,
and here's a guy who loves to preach.
Anyway, once again, shalom to everybody. Shalom. Shalom. Come on, shout it. Your voice is shalom. What's happened? Whenever I met a stranger, they asked me, what do you do? It's difficult what to say, because if I say I'm a pastor, that might conjure certain images in their mind. So I often like to be creative. So I sat next to this woman at the metro bus, and I said, hello. And she said, she was texting early in the morning at 7 o'clock. And she said, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she said, I'm going to Kingston. Then she asked me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Hobart. And she started asking questions and say, what do you do? What do you do? So I said, I work for a global enterprise. I said to her, like, we have outlets every country in the world, right? She said, do you? I said, yes, we do. And I said, like, we do all sorts of things. We have hospitals, we have hospices, and we do orphanages, we do justice work, and we do everything. And she said, have you? I said, yes, I have. And I said, like, basically, we do look after people from birth to death. And we deal with the area of behavior alteration. She went, wow. Like, really loud, the whole bus turned around towards us and surprised, like, you know. And she asked, what is called? Then I said, it's called the church. I said, have you heard of it? So if you are a visitor, you are someone not yet follower of Jesus here today, you have seen something what the church is. This is kind of a church is, right? You are feeling it now. You felt it in the morning with our worship, right? So I'm going to talk to today about, I am a Christian. Now what? So that's what I'm going to talk today, right? Why I'm a Christian? Now what? Now, when I conclude my preaching, if you would like to say yes, because you have never said yes before, or you used to be Christian but kind of stayed away, or you are not quite sure what it's all about, you would like to begin the journey, I'm going to ask you to get up and stand both here and even online. I'm going to ask you now, because when I tell you later, you are not being surprised, right? It's, somebody might say, oh yes, he said it now, so I know what to do, right? So if you do Instagram, if you tweet, if you have a Twitter account, so it's me at PC, Pastor Chris, TJ Rubes 22, like, okay, let's tweet it, let's go global, like, If I do tell something good, let's go global and do it, right? If you don't know whether it is good, I will let you know when to do that, all right? Now, the way that I'm going to explain today, I'm going to tell you why I am a Christian. Why I am a Christian. I'm going to give you four reasons why I am a Christian, right? If I got more time, I can give more, but because of the time, I'll give four, right? Now, there's a famous verse in the Bible located in John Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, whoever believes in him, not perish, but have everlasting life." The little one sentence captures the essence of what Christianity is all about. But a lot of people's understanding of Christianity is misunderstanding. Someone said, "I can't believe in Christianity if everything I don't understand." I said, "Really?" Then he said, "Yes." I said, "What do you do? What do you do?" He said, "Like, I involve in agriculture." I said, "Oh, tell me this. How it is possible a black cow to eat green grass and produce white milk?" You see, there's a lot of things we don't know, fully understand. You see, there are a lot of people who think Christianity, Christians don't think. And they think Christians don't think because Christians don't think like the way they think. Right? They think we don't know how to think at all, but we do. So let's go back to the beginning of the word for God, the word God. God, what that means? Did you know the first Russian astronaut returned from space? The first interview, first question was, "Did you see God?" He said, "No, I didn't." And the Soviet Union heralded this to prove that God did not exist. When the first American astronaut returned from space, first question, fourth question was, "Did you see God?" He said, "I would have seen God had I stepped out of my spacesuit." Two completely different understanding of the word God. There was a little girl. She asked mommy, "Is God in the house?" Mommy was like doing the TikTok, right? She said, "Yes, dear, he's in the house." "Mommy, if God's in the house, is he in the kitchen?" And mommy was thinking, she thought like, so if God in the house, he got to be in the kitchen. "Yes, he's there. He's there." Then the girl asked mommy again, "If God's in the house, if he's in the kitchen, you see the marmalade jar without the top on it? If God is in the marmalade jar." What do you reckon? What do you think? Is God in the marmalade jar? Who says yes? Yes? I got one more question for you. Right? Right. When the kettle is boiling, is God having a soda inside the kettle? No! He's not. It's good to know what you believe in, isn't it? So the mother thought, he's in the house. He's in the kitchen. And yes, so he should be in the marmalade jar. Then the little girl went, "I got him." You see, a lot of people do that. A lot of people want to say, this is God. God is unboxable. You can't box God in. If only it comes, we come humbly to God, that we begin to fathom and understand who God is. If you and I fully understand and and fathom God, God would have been the same as our own minds. Therefore, he wouldn't be worth believing, because he is like us. You see, too many people today ask the wrong questions. And if you ask the wrong question, you will never get the right answers. The first reason why I am a Christian is because Christianity is true. Here's a good question to ask. Has God revealed himself? Has God spoken? Has he? Well, in the Bible we have an account how God revealed himself. God spoke in creation. There is enough in creation for us to encounter the Creator. But most people who love creation, they are not interested in the Creator. God has spoken through history. But God's greatest revelation of himself of all people, for all cultures, for all time, was Jesus Christ. Now here is a good question to ask. How do you know Jesus was the one? How do you know Jesus was the one? It's a good question, right? I agree, it's a good question. Now, in the Bible, you got two testaments, right? You got Old Testament and you got New Testament. So the Old Testament begins with the book of Genesis and it ends with Malachi. And the New Testament begins with Matthew and it ends with Revelation. Between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book of Matthew in the New Testament, there is over 500 years of gap. God didn't say anything. There's silent, right? But in the Old Testament, there's something called messianic prophecies, right? It's about the arrival of the king from heaven to the earth. I have a lot of friends in the Middle East. Sorry, I need to have a glass of water. Because I have done a lot of work in the Middle East, because I was living in Jerusalem. So I did a lot of work in the Middle East, some of the rabbis. You know what the rabbi means? So they are a religious sort of a kind of a pastors for their community in the Middle East. So I said, one of the rabbis, let's hang out in the coffee shop, right? And I said, listen, let's just read the messianic prophecies, right? I said, Rabbi, how many are there? He said, 300. Then I said, 322. Yes, of course, he said, right? And I said to this rabbi, let's read. You read one, I read one. You read one, I read one. So we read the 322 messianic prophecies. I just said to Rabbi, does that remind you someone? Right? The 322 prophecies tell you where he's going to be born, how he's going to be born, and how he's going to grow up, what's going to say, and how he's going to die. You even got the number of coins that going to use to betray him. Do you know what a mathematical compound probability is of 322 prophecies being fulfilled by one man at one moment in time? It's 1/84 with 100 zeros. In other words, it doesn't happen every day. Right? It's a rare occurrence. It's a rare occurrence. But it's just not Jesus fulfilling these prophecies. It's not just based on his teaching. It's not based on his life. It's not based on his death. It's based on his resurrection. In the 18th century, there was a man called Gilbert West. He didn't like it his friends becoming Christians. So he decided to, he would write a book to disapprove resurrection. Because if you disapprove resurrection, there is no Christianity, right? So he started writing his book, and halfway through the book, he met Jesus, right? He wrote the book the other way around, which is called Conversion and the Apostleship of Paul. And in the 19th century, there was a famous atheist in America called Angell Soule. He didn't like where the Christianity was growing. He had a great friend, a very famous general called Lew Wallace. He said to his friend, Lew, you got to help me. Let's damage Christianity. Let's damage church. Why don't you write a book to disapprove the resurrection? Right? So Lew Wallace began to write his book. And then while he was writing the book, his wife was a Christian. So she started praying. And when he was writing the fourth chapter, he met Jesus. Right? And so he wrote the book the other way around. I think you have seen the movie but not read the book. Some of you must have read the book. It's called Ben-Hur. Yeah? So that's Lew Wallace. In the 20th century, there was a lawyer and a journalist. He's called Frank Morrison. He decided he would shatter the Christianity. The only way he would do that to disapprove resurrection. So he's a journalist. He knows how to research. But he's also a lawyer. He knows how to play with the materials. Right? So he started writing the book. Halfway through the book, he met Jesus. And he wrote the book the other way around. His book is called Who Moved the Stone? Right? So if you are hurry to meet Jesus, why don't you start write a book to disapprove resurrection? Right? Let's do that. So if you are walking down the street, you get to an end of the street, right? The street branches into two. You don't know which way to go, left, right? You don't know. Then there are two main lines. One is a dead line, one's a lifeline, right? And which one would you ask for directions? The reason why I'm a Christian is because Jesus Christ is alive. The resurrection authenticated everything. He said everything he did. Jesus rose from the dead, and he spent 40 days before he went for the ascension into heaven, right? During the 40-day period, he neither taught, withdrew, nor had anything that he would talk in three previous years, right? That's why we can believe in Jesus about the past, the present, and the future. I am a Christian because Christianity is true. That's why you should be a Christian, right? Do you know I have to give three more reasons why I'm a Christian, right? In fact, that is so good. If anybody wants to be a Christian, you should do it now, even online, right? But wait till I give the other few reasons. So the second reason why I'm a Christian, because I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. A wife said to her husband, look after Annie for me, their daughter, right? So father said, yeah, okay. Some of the fathers do. They have to look after your own children, right? And Pastor Dave is doing it right now, right? But he thought, like, what he will do to occupy her daughter, right? He's flicking through a magazine and he found a map of the world. He says to Annie, watch what I'm going to do now. So he cut the map of the world into two small squares and muddled all over the floor. And he says to Annie, I want you to put all the squares together and back make the map, right? So when you are done, come and find me. So father thought that will keep her busy. Couple of minutes later, she came back, right? And Father told, like, she wouldn't have done that, like, within a couple of minutes. And then he went and had a look, and it's done exactly the same way that map should be, right? Then he was very puzzled how she did it. Then the daughter said, when you are cutting the map out, I look at the other side of the picture, and there was a man and a woman. So I thought, if I put the man and woman together, I will put up the map back together. Right? The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Repeat. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. You should say to somebody in the morning, right? Do you know the heart of the problem is? The problem of the human heart. Wow, it's in the heart, right? It's in the heart. So this is something I explained slightly different, right? Okay. You walk up in a gigantic theater. In front of you, there's a huge screen. All of a sudden, the doors open and the angels tries come up to you and say, welcome to the theater of judgment. Right? Relax. Watch the screen. Then on the screen, you see your life, everything you did on earth, everything you said here on earth, and everything you ever thought. Those are what are called the sins of omission, right? But when you proceed to watch the sins of omission, you see things you shouldn't have done, but you did it, right? And at the end of the film, you are recovering, and the angels come back and says, relax. There is going to be a second viewing. And the people who are in your life, they are outside. I will bring them to the movie, the theater, and they will sit with you and watch your life, right? That's how God judges, instant, just like that, right? How do you feel about that, right? I don't want to view about my life in a private viewing. I'm convinced that I should view my life in a publicly, right? A lot of people won't realize that the stuff in the film has a consequence of disconnecting with God, right? And it doesn't look like an overdraft in a bank account. You have an overdraft, I have an overdraft. You can't help me, I can't help you. But there is somebody else who can help you. That is Jesus Christ, right? I'm a Christian because it's true. I'm a Christian because I need forgiveness. That's why you should be a Christian. You need forgiveness. The third reason why I'm a Christian is because Jesus did something for you and me to clear the overdraft. Right? So in the verse, so for God so loved the world, put your name there. Like Chris, put your name there. For God so loved you, he gave his only son. He gave his only son. Jesus came into this world to do something for us. I was doing my shopping in the supermarket at the Woolies. And there was a lady in the Woolies on the checkout desk. She had a cross around her neck. I said, hello. And I said, you are a Christian. She said, what? I said, you are a Christian. What are you talking about? I said, you got a cross around your neck. And she said, because it's nice. That's why I wear it. I said, I saw her name tag. It was Tracy. I said, Tracy, it's not nice. It was nasty. Right? So I am pointing the stuff on the conveyor belt and we are packing, we are talking. I said to Tracy, listen. If I had an earring here, I said, Tracy, Listen. I am wearing this side earring of a gas chamber. Right? She said, no. I said, yes. And she said, why are you wearing a gas chamber earring? I said, I want to remember how many Jews and the million of Jews were killed. That's why I'm wearing this side. And I said, Tracy, I'm wearing another one, right? And it's an electric chair. She said, no. I said, yes. She asked me, like, why are you wearing an electric chair? I said, I want to remember how many certain criminals got executed in the United States. And said, Tracy, what do you think of me if I'm walking around with an electric chair on my one earring and the gas chamber on my one earring? What would you think? I figure she would think like, I lost it, I lost it, I lost it. Right? No, I said to Tracy, he said, because they are symbols of execution? She said, yeah. I said, Tracy, so what would you think you are wearing around your neck? I said, Tracy, you got to remember this. Jesus didn't wear it around his neck. He wore it on his back. Right? He wore it on his back. Big difference. And there was a huge silence in the police. It's like the whole place was quiet. Tracy went cold. I said to Tracy, yes, it's cold. Jesus came into this world to clear our overdraft. To clear our overdraft. There was a very famous artist who went back to his small village town where he grew up. He was walking and he saw an antique store and he saw a painting on the window. And he saw his name on that painting. And it was dented and it was scratched and it was dirty. But he can't go and say, this is my painting, I give it back to me. He can't do that. The only thing he could do is he has to buy the painting and then reframe it, reprint it, and clean it, restore it. Jesus did the same thing. He brought us back. Jesus came into this world and died upon the cross. Because by dying on the cross, he was purchasing for us forgiveness from the past. I am a Christian because it's true. I am a Christian because I need forgiveness. I am a Christian because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me to purchase for me the forgiveness of the past. Okay, back to our verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. So whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the bread of life so that the bakers can understand. Jesus is the water of life so the plumbers can understand. Jesus is the light of the world so the electricians can understand. Jesus is the cornerstone so that the architect can understand. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness so that astronauts can understand. Jesus is the hidden treasure so the bankers can understand. Jesus is the life so the biologists can understand. Jesus is the physician so the doctors and the nurses can understand. Jesus is the teacher, good teacher, so the educators can understand. Jesus is the lily of valley so that the florists can understand. Jesus is the true wine so the horticulturists can understand. Jesus is the pearl of great price so the jewelers can understand. Jesus is the wisdom so the philosophers can understand. Jesus is the word so that the actors can understand. Jesus is the good shepherd so the farmers can understand. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega so that the scientists can understand. Jesus is the King of Kings so that the royalty can understand. Jesus is the way of traffic wardens so that traffic wardens can understand. Jesus is the truth so that politicians can understand. Jesus is the resurrection so that the funeral directors can understand. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one. So why you should be a Christian? Because it's true. You should be a Christian because you need forgiveness. You should be a Christian because Jesus died for you and for me, that you can have forgiveness in the past, a new life, and a hope for the future. I'd like to invite the worship team to come now on stage. Think of your life like a car, just for a moment. Like a car, okay? The car of your life. To be a Christian means Christ is in your car, okay? Christ is in your car. So for a few minutes, I'm going to ask you, if Jesus is in your car, put him back in the car. And I want you to stand up now. I want you to stand up wherever you are. Even if you are online, I want you to stand up. Put him back in your car. I know many of you got him in the car. You got him in the car. Others, you haven't invited him today. Now, those of you that have got him in the car, where is he now? Where is he now? On the back seat? Bit of a passenger, no. Is he on your front seat? Oh, a bit of a companion, but still a passenger, right? You're thinking, huh? We know where we are going, Chris. No, you don't. You don't. But you are thinking, he's now going to say, is he in the driving seat of the car of your life? Now, everybody thought, yes, he is in the driving seat of my car of my life. I have one more question for you. Are you a backseat driver? Because when the car gets to intersection, like Jesus is driving and he turns left. No, 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 I don't want to be there. Turn left, all right. Where are you going? Jesus says, I'm going down the road of the generosity. I want to be generous. And you know, a lot of people haven't heard the sermon of the amount. Have you heard the sermon of the amount? Not the mount, amount. Have you heard of it? So you are in the car. Jesus is driving the car. Okay? And then you are in the back seat. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to down the path of forgiveness. Then you say, I don't want to be a forgiver. Some of you today, you know Jesus in the car. But some of you, you have to reposition Jesus today. Some of you, sometimes you come into the church, you put Jesus in your boots and shut him, and you bring him on the happy hour of on Sunday, and then you take him out of the boot and Jesus, you come with me now. Then you finish your happy hour on Sunday, put him back, get in there. Then you go home and drive. I want you to put Jesus today, in this morning, in the driving seat. In the driving seat. But you need to reposition him in your life. This is what's going to happen. If Jesus is driving your car, the car of your life, you will produce things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So how long you have been a Christian? 5 months, 5 years, 15 years? Okay, how fruity are you? If you are lacking some of that fruit, that means you got a little red light in your car flashing, saying it's time for you to reposition. Others of you today, you need to put Jesus in your driving seat, because he will clear out the overdraft. So I want you to now close your eyes. Wherever you are, let's pray for everybody who are here. Because the Holy Spirit is here now. If you have gone away from Jesus, if you are in a crisis moment in the car of your life, you need to reposition Jesus. Just get him out of your boot, out of your trunk, out of being a backseat driver or passenger. Put him in the driver's seat of your car. If you have a concern about your health, whatever, put your hand on your heart right now. Put your hand on your heart. We are going to pray for everyone who got health needs now. So Jesus are the King of the Kings. You are the great healer. So we are asking you here, online and in this location, that you would release well. Your presence is already here. We are asking you to release more of your healing presence. And where there is sickness, disease, we pray that you will flush this out in our system. Whether there can be any kind of degeneration, we are asking you to regenerate. We are asking you for restoration. We pray for health, the wholeness of well-being. And if somebody needs prayer right now, and if you want to accept Jesus in this morning, if you want to say yes, please raise your hand right now. Please raise your hand right now so that I can see you. If you want to come here in France, please do come. Let's see. Let's sing. Let's sing right now. Let's sing in the name of Jesus. Because in Jesus' name, you will be healed. Whatever you are going through in your life, whatever you are having in your school, whatever you are going through in your mind right now, Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal you. Let's say in the name of Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
I speak in the name of Jesus because I want to be a Christian right now. I want to be a follower of you, Jesus.
Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Burn like a fire, Jesus, inside of my heart. I want to accept you inside my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Darkness over every enemy.